think it goes back to the same question we've been asking ourselves. Do we really trust God? Do we trust Him with our walks, that He's there, that He listens to us?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
We continue through the book of Ezra in the Building Foundation series. Previously, we saw how Ezra set his heart to seek God's word, to live it out, and to teach it to others. Today, we come to Ezra chapter 7, 11 through 28, with a message titled, Letter from the King. In this passage, King Artaxerxes writes a letter giving Ezra authority, provision, and protection for the journey. What's striking is this: God uses a pagan king to support his purpose. The resources, the permission, even the encouragement, all of it comes together at just the right time. Ezra recognizes it clearly. This is the hand of God at work. What God called him to do, God also provided for. So when God gives direction, he also provides what's needed to follow through. His provision may not always look the way we expect, but his hand is always at work behind the scenes. So, where is God asking you to step forward in faith? And can you trust that He will provide what you need along the way? Let's join Pastor Ben in Ezra chapter 7, verses 11 through 28, with the letter from the king. Here's Pastor Ben.
Last week, we studied the way Ezra had prepared himself for the leadership and the Lord's blessing. Now, I want you to note this if you're a note taker. Verses 12 through 26 have been preserved for us in Aramaic, not Hebrew. You need to write that down. Why? Because Aramaic is easier to translate, and we can have the confidence that we have an exact copy of the very letter from King Artaxerxes. So you can take that to the bank. But let me just break it down for you, because if you're not ashamed to write in your Bible or make notes, in verse 11 is Hebrew. Okay, verse 11 is Hebrew. Verse 12 through 26 is Aramaic. And then verse 27 through 28, it comes back to Hebrew. Okay? Very, very, very important. You go, okay, but it's in English here, Pastor. Yeah, but we're going to get the exact letter so that we understand what he's saying. So we're going to pick up our study in verse 11, and it says this. Remember, verse 11 is in Hebrew, and he says this. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, the expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Well, first and foremost, we need to pull this out and we say, well, who's Artaxerxes? Well, remember who he is. He is also known in history as Artaxerxes Longimanus, okay? Longimanus. And he was the successor to Xerxes. You go, who's Xerxes? Well, Xerxes was another name for the king who married Esther. And it was Ahasuerus. I'm butchering that name right now because I don't have it here in my notes. But he was Xerxes. And the events of the book of Esther took place in between. So you had the king who banished Vashti because he was going to parade her in some pornographic way, if you will. She said, no, I'm not going to go dance naked in front of your friends. Well, that cost her the queenship, if you will. He starts looking. God raises up Esther, and Esther eventually marries Xerxes. Well, Xerxes dies, and guess who? Artaxerxes comes in. That's who Artaxerxes is. So this is a copy of a letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra. How did this happen? Well, chapter 6 to chapter 7, there's 60 years break. So life still happens, doesn't it, in between those. And so you're going, oh, so historically, I see how it fits. I see how it fits. Now, put on your thinking caps for just a second, okay? If you don't understand there's a time gap between chapter 6 and chapter 7, and you simply read this, that's what confuses people, because you go, wait a minute, what happened? This is not who we were talking about. It was Cyrus and then Darius, and we got a letter from, but now it's And so you need to understand historical, this is what's happening. And so who's in charge right now in the transition? Well, it's King Artaxerxes. And so he writes a letter, and it's broken up into three sections. We're going to see the permission he gives, jot that down. We're going to see the provision he provides, and then we're going to see the purpose in which he gives. Let me give those to you again really quick. The permission he gives, okay, the provision he provides, and the purpose. Now, again, with a background of not putting God in a box, not thinking that God can only work this way or that way. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Oftentimes, we feel like God will work, and he does work, but we don't always expect him to work in other ways. Say you're in home and you're praying and you're gathered together and you know there's no food in the house and you're just praying, or maybe you got a bill come and you're just like, oh, Lord, you know we just don't have any finances, or Lord, we just need this. God, please, 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 please. And so what you do is you put God in a box and you go to the mailbox every single day hoping that somebody wrote you a check. And so you look and you, oh, not today. Oh, not today. And so all of a sudden we go, well, what do you mean? Well, think about this, guys. God can work in so many other ways, but we tend to put God in a box. Even so, when I go out here and I'll take my little keys and I'll go check the church mailbox, Adam looked at me and he goes, is the $1 million check in there? Why does he say that? Because we're used to God working in a certain way. Well, if God's going to give us $1 million, obviously he's going to put it in our mailbox here. And so you need to realize that God can do whatever he wants to accomplish his plan. And again, it shows us right here. Let's look at the permission. You ready? Verse 12, it says, Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra, the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and so forth. Now, look at this. Look at this. This is just amazing, right? Because he starts off and he goes, Artaxerxes, king of kings, right? To who? To Ezra the priest, right? And he calls himself what? The king of kings. Now, right off the bat, all you Bible students are like, whoa, hold the phone there. We love you, Artie, but you're not the king of kings. Well, what you need to know is the title king of kings was assumed by every Babylonian king. And it was frequently used by them. So they would always start, hey, This is Ben, king of kings, right? To whoever. That's how they would do it, right? And so he goes to Ezra, right? He calls Ezra the priest. He calls him a scribe. And he says, in perfect peace and so forth. I always get a kick out of that in the New King, and so forth. Because it sounds like it's like, and so forth. Like, I don't want to talk anymore and so forth. You ever hear that? But that's not what it means, okay? It means and. So now he's going to give the content of the letter. So forth means this is perfect peace. And so now let's talk about what I'm really wanting to write. For you and I, it might be dear so-and-so, right? Dear so-and-so, I'm writing you today. And then you would tell them why you're writing. But let's go back for a minute, because the Babylonian kings called themselves the king of kings. He calls them the king of kings. Right? But you and I know there's only one King of Kings. And if you're taking note, Revelation chapter 19, I'd just like to describe this to you. Verse 15, it's talking about Jesus. And he says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule with them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that a great tattoo? His is the only one that counts right now, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Babylonian kings, you can say it, but there's only one King of Kings. Can I get an amen? Artaxerxes recognizes something in Ezra that I would pray the world recognizes in us. He says he's called both a priest and a scribe. Now, I'm not saying that the world should recognize that we're a priest or a scribe, but what I am wanting the world to recognize is that we're different, that we're not behaving like them anymore, that there's something changed in our hearts. that we are fully devoted followers of God, and we're not going to compromise our walk for the sake of a 25-cent raise. We're not going to compromise our walk for the sake of, we're the profits of the business. We're not going to compromise. The world is looking at us and going, wait a minute, you're one of them. And if you look in the New Testament, it started out and he would call them, you're part of the way. You're part of the way. Well, for us, do you realize that in the New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, nobody called themselves a Christian? You go, why? It was a death sentence. You didn't go, hey, I'm a Christian. Other people called you a Christian. Wait, you're part of the, and that's what we want. We want our lives so much that people are calling us, wait a minute, you're a Christian. What do you mean? Well, everybody seems like everybody who goes out to eat prays nowadays, but what if we pray when it's not just mealtime? What if we take a minute and pray with somebody right in the middle of the parking lot? Hey man, how you doing? I'm really sad today. I'm really broken. Oh, let's take a minute and pray. Let's just and not so we can impress somebody with our prayer. Dear God, most gracious, and I don't know where we get these voices from, but more sincerely in our hearts, just being who we are. And so Artaxerxes recognized something different in Ezra's life, and I pray that the world recognizes something different in your life. I pray your family recognizes something different in your life. Well, back to our letter, verse 13 says, I issue a decree that all those of the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. And whereas you have been sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. Here's what you need to make note, first and foremost, okay? It seems like from our text right here, where it says you are being sent by the king, you need to make a note in your Bible. It seems like Ezra was employed by the king. He was an employee of King Artaxerxes. Why else would the king write, you are being sent? And why else hadn't Ezra come earlier when the 16 years when nobody was doing anything? It seemed like if he was here today, he would say, Pastor, I had a job, bro. I had to get up and go to work. But what we need to remember is permission is needed. Why? Why did he need permission? Why couldn't he just leave? I quit, Artaxerxes. Here's why. Because he was going to be absent from that job. And the one thing you need to realize, guys, is the authority that God has put on your life. You go, I hate my boss, or my boss is this. That's still the authority that God has put in the interim. Until he moves you, we come under that authority. Ezra, Nehemiah is another example. He's not going to run off. He's just simply going to be sad, and then he gets scared because he's like, hey, what's your problem? And he prayed because he didn't just go. He came under that authority. Yo, Pastor, what's the point? Recognize the authority that God is placing over you and come under that authority, under that authority. We also see that per this text that Ezra was going to take others with him, okay? He's going to take others. It goes, I issue a decree, all those people of Israel and the priests and the Levites of the realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. That's another thing we need to learn. We need to grasp that, guys. The Christian life is not one that's forced upon anyone. The Christian life is one we volunteer, if you will, when we surrender our lives to God. Okay, we're going to do. Why? Because the Bible tells us that every one of us in this room, if you're a fully devoted follower of Christ, you're in the ministry. I didn't know I was in the ministry. Every one of us is in the ministry. And God has a beautiful plan. He says, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to gather as a church. We're going to gather in buildings. He gives us, he blesses us with buildings. But he says, but the church really is out there. As you learn in here, you're going to take it out there and you're going to be a blessing to others. Okay? He says, whereas you are being sent by the king with seven counselors to inquire. Who are these seven counselors? Well, if you're taking note, this is the Supreme Court of the land. This is the Supreme Court. How do we know? Jot this down. Esther chapter 1, verse 14. Esther chapter 1, verse 14. It says this. Esther 1:14 says, the closest to him being Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Miris, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media who had access to the king's presence, who ranked in the highest of the kingdom. Please don't make me say those names again, but I think it's a pretty cool name. We're going to move on. The second thing we see is the provision. Look how God provides. And here's how this is where I was busted. This is where I was convicted, okay? Now, if you're taking notes, here's what I want you to do. Jot down the four sources of funding right here. Four sources. I'm looking at the mailbox. God, you're going to provide in the mailbox. You're going to send a check. Somebody's going to hear me on the radio. You're going to send a check. But God does incredible things. Look at the first one here in verse 15. The first one we see is from the king and the counselors. He says, and whereas you are to carry the silver and the gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, who is dwelling in Jerusalem. Guys, listen up. Artaxerxes authorized the giving of the silver and gold gifts to the temple. And I bet Ezra never thought this pagan king could be used by God to fund the temple and the ministry, the pastoral work of Ezra. Never in his life he thought, oh, okay, let's chat for just a moment. We have to understand. Well, here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to preach to me. You guys can listen if you want to, okay? We have to understand just how unfathomably big God's love is in order to keep from putting God in a box, so to speak. How amazingly infinite and big God is. Why? I can fall into the traps of putting limits upon God based upon what we believe or don't believe, and by trusting in form and function rather than the work, the feeling, and the leading of the Spirit. You're like, wow. It works for our lives. You go, Pastor, I'm not sure what you mean. I think it goes back to the same question we've been asking ourselves. Do we really trust God? Do we really trust God? Do we trust Him with our walks, that He's there, that He listens to us? Do we trust Him with our finances? God's going to take care of all of that. Do we really trust Him? We need to realize it's not our money. Why are we holding on so tight to it? It's God's money. Do we trust Him with our relationships? Guys, we have to be careful that we don't put limits. You guys know that we have here in our church been kind of, you know, looking for land or trying to find another building that would house us all, a little bit bigger sanctuary, all the things. You know, we've been praying for it at noonday prayer and first Sunday prayer meeting. We've just been praying, asking God. And at times I feel like I can put God in a box. Okay, God, this is the only way you can work. You know, I mean, out of the blue, we're going to get a call and somebody's going to just hear me on the radio and just loves the ministry and wants to, and we limit God. That's a small pond, isn't it? But what if God wants to do something outrageously crazy? And I feel the same way. God, well, you can only work this far because I surely don't see an unbeliever funding a building or a piece of land. I surely don't see that. It's got to be. And again, this is what was so convicting because it was like, wow, Lord. Ezra was the same way. Ezra was like, there's no way. I believe that God isn't interested in our systems or our programs, but He's interested in our hearts. He wants us to be caught up in the exhilaration about who He is and what He's done and is doing and He's able to do. He wants us to be enraptured with His power, His strength, His ability, His provision, and His love. And that, my friends, is where your pastor gets convicted, because that's where I need to be. You go, well, give it to me in a simple definition. Here's a simple. You know what? God didn't call me to build the church. He called me to teach the sheep. So why do I find myself building the church? Now take that and use it for your life. I'm already convicted, so you don't have to look at me and go, see, I told you. It's what I've been telling you, Pastor. Here's the point. In our lives, we have to have a big view of God and don't tie Him down. Don't tie Him down. Don't put Him in a box. Give Him full authority. Depend on Him. We trust You, Lord. Let Him fill us. Open up your hearts. Let Him lead you, God. Step out in faith. Let Him sustain us. That song from Casting Crowns came out, The Voice of Truth, and you know, back in the day when it came out, I don't know how many years it came out, and I'd listen to it, and it's like, the voice of truth tells me. But then when you listen to the lyrics and you're applying it, it's like, do I have that faith to get out of the boat? When the waves are crashing, do you know, when Goliath is saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But the voice of truth tells me a different story. And that ministered to me so much because it was like, wow. You go, Pastor, what's the point? Here's the point. God is using this heathen king to fund his ministry. That's a great way. So don't put God in a box. Number two, from the offering of the Babylonian neighbors, from the people and the priest. Look at verse 16. And whereas all the silver and gold that you may find in all the province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and the priest, are freely offered for what? For the house of their God in Jerusalem. You go, what did he say? He says, man, you are to take the silver and gold that you may obtain from the province of Babylon, as well as any voluntary offering from the people, the priests that are presented for the temple of God. You go, wow. How is it funded? People just gave. He said, hey, I mean, look at this. This just blows my mind. The Babylonians, guys, the neighbors, the people. This would include the Jews as well as the Gentiles who respected the Jews. You know what comes to mind? You remember when the children of Israel left Egypt? What did they take with them? The spoils of Egypt. The Egyptians were so upset. They were throwing them their stuff. Just get out of here. Take it. Just go. And God was blessing them. God was blessing them. But think about this. There were people who didn't go back to build the temple. There were people who were too old or too young, and they stayed in Babylon. But you know what they did? They were faithful. They were faithful supporters that would never see the final completion. You see, there were Jewish people who died there in Babylon. And you go, think about it. The biblical principle for us was they were sending the money ahead of time. And that's what you do when you give. When you give, you send the money ahead. You go, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you that the gospel, and here's what we do. We produce the radio. It goes out to 60 radio stations across the United States. We're on every day at 9:30 and 8:30 there. You know, so when you give and we're able to pay for that, you're sending your money ahead. And I wonder if one day somebody in heaven's going to walk up to you that you've never known and said, thank you so much. And you're like, wait, what? Why? Who are you? What's going on? And you both got the joy of the Lord and you're in heaven. And it said, you're from that church in Lubbock, right? Well, yeah, that's where I went to church. And you know what? It was that radio ministry that I heard that I opened up my heart and gave my life to Jesus. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button, If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.